I can't say nothing about having a lot of teeth now. I got some bought teeth up here. Praise the Lord. That's the church, and next Sunday, Lord's willing, every kid that you know, if you can get them here, any child, Saturday night and Sunday, just bring as many as you can, and every one of them will be able to participate. They're going to be dressed up either in red, white, and blue, or in colonial dress, and they're going to have some things to say to you about our country. Praise the Lord. It looks like we're fighting a losing battle, don't it? But you know how big's our God. Well, a lot of people's God really little. Our God's big. Big, big, big. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. If you're praying for me, we're finding new friends throughout the year to be at our meeting in February. And I pray for me there. There's some meetings that I've been invited to go to. So you just pray that we'll make new friends in those meetings and missionary conferences. We're looking for new missionaries. At one time, we were sending out a lot of missionaries in the United States, and I'm not sure about the figures now, but there's not as many being sent out as there was when I was growing up. Be honest with you, Mexico is sending missionaries to the United States. Did you ever think that'd ever be happening? Well, that's exactly what's happening. I come across a new church last week, and matter of fact, I visited that church, and the pastor's Brother Terry Colbert and his First Baptist Church in Pinville, Georgia. I went to that church. It's just a handful of people. You know that most churches are not mega churches. Did you know that most churches, regardless of whatever brand you want to put on them, are just a handful of people? That's the way it is. That's the backbone of our country. These small churches all across the United States. We're blessed because we got a lot of them in Alabama. But some states don't have many at all. But anyway, Pinville, Georgia. And I just went. And there's just a handful of people there, maybe eight. And their baby grand piano. And bless the song director's heart, Derek. He had something that he carried in his hands, and it lit up all the way around. It was like some kind of giant magnifying glass, and he did the singing, directed singing, a cappella. You know, when I play the piano, my girls laugh at me, but anyway, a lot of people laugh at me. They just look at me and laugh. I'm thankful. He's directing the singing. And I don't know, I'm not in tune half the time, but all eight or nine of us was singing a different key. And we're doing the best we can. And when one fella's in one key and you're in another key, it's hard to try to keep. Thank God for piano players, musicians. So anyway, about the third song, I'm thinking, Lord, I could play a song. And I didn't want to, it's not my church. But I said, hey, if you find one that I can play, I'll be glad to play the song. It was Glory to His Name. Baby Grand. I felt like a spiritual, what's that guy that used to get up there with a clown suit on and play, a spiritual one. But anyway, it was like revival came. You know what they said? That piano's not been played in years. And this broke my heart, Derek. Come back. You know, I ain't no piano player. I can play Glory to His Name a little bit. You can recognize it. But the little churches like that, we're looking for them and trying to encourage the pastors. And, you know, they encourage me. We all need encouragement. I just thought I'd share that with you. That's First Baptist Church over in Pinville Community, it's Somerville, Georgia, not that far from the house. And since I was over there, 15 minutes to 10 minutes is where my grandbabies were. Grandbabies, all right. And I said, well, really, all of a sudden the Lord just led me after this service to go see my grandbabies. They start at 7, and Pimble starts at 6. So I caught the tail end of my son-in-law, Charlie, preaching. 5 or 6 people. When I got out of there, some of y'all's been to that church. Beautiful building. When I got out of my car, I could hear something. Let's see. I can hear it out. Everybody agree with that? Say amen. Okay, you got to help them too, brother. Right? Got your Bibles in 2nd chapter 4. Lord, help us for a little while. Lord, I know our attention spans are short. And I just pray that you'll do like the old preachers prayed and asked the people to give the Lord undivided attention. That's what it is. Give the Lord undivided attention. Save souls, courage, help, heal. In Jesus' name, be glorified, dear Lord. Let me tell you something. There's a man, if I got his name right, his name is Steve Hansen. Steve Hansen, Clifton's a plumbing track contractor, or was. He had a lot of men like you do. They'd be on the job out there, and they'd be out of town sometimes on jobs. And he cooked for the people. He made sure they got, it wasn't just going out to restaurants, but he'd get meals prepared for them wherever they were staying. And he had this special recipe that he just conjectured or made up himself, and they all liked it. And he fed them, and every time he'd use that recipe, most every time. Later on, he bought a ranch out west. It had to be a big one because it was in Texas. I'm kidding. Hey, I got one for you. There's this Alabama cattleman and a farmer and a Texas farmer talking. And the Texas farmer said, I can get in my truck before daylight. And he said, I drive around my place and I don't get home till after dark. Alabama farmer said, they just have trucks like that. Don't leave, please don't leave. So later on, he bought a ranch out there out west, and he put a restaurant in it, and he used that same recipe. And man, people just began to love it so much. He lost the ranch. They sold it or whatever, but he started sending out packets of it by mail. This year, it took over number one ketchup. It became known as ranch dressing. I hope they don't change that list. I like it. I don't know about you. There's a crazy man that owns a restaurant. I don't know where and when, whatever, but the report is that he has no ranch dressing restaurant, and he will not allow anybody to bring none in. And I'll say, I'll go to something. There's a recipe that don't change, friends. That great God of ours don't change. This book don't change. The gospel message don't change. There's no other message on earth that'll do what the gospel of Jesus Christ will do to a human soul. And you know how it gets out? Oh, there's a word that, you know what a ewe lamb is? A ewe lamb is a good lamb, young one. And then there's this word, Helios. You know what Helios is? How does the word of God get out? By a good angel. Revelation, the Bible talks about the seven churches, and he sent the letter to the angel of the church, and the angel of the church was the pastor, the preacher. The word of God gets out by preaching. And that's what it says in verse 1, I charge thee. That's a command. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, that's the saved people and the lost people, at his appearing and his kingdom. What did he say? What did he say? Preach the word. You ever heard the statement? Anybody ever? You may have been told this by somebody. And it could be a husband and wife. Could be friends. It could be the statement is, don't preach to me. Not even using Bible, not even spiritual. Don't preach to me. You've probably said that. I've probably said that. And I know people said it to us. Don't preach to me. They don't mean use the Bible. They just mean don't be telling me what to do. You know what preaching does? It tells people what to do. And the flesh don't like to be told what to do. Naturally. Long as the preacher's preaching on somebody else, it's okay, preach on. But when they get in your neck of the woods, they're meddling. Preaching. I'll say this again. But I heard years ago, the preacher said this. I'm talking about 30 years ago or more. A big name preacher. Big name, if you want to use big name, a celebrity type preacher. And he was a meeting here in Gadsden. And he got up to preach, and here's what he said. He said, preaching don't get the job done anymore. Well, I got to wondering, well, why is he preaching? Do whatever gets the job done. Paul told young Timothy, Paul was facing death. He was in a dungeon. He was on death row in that dungeon, awaiting to get his head cut off. And he wrote the letter to Timothy, and he told him to do this. And Timothy was young, and Paul was old, and he said, preach. Boy, there's a lot of stuff going on nowadays in the name of preaching. It's not even near what preaching on. And I don't want to be in danger of that. And God, you correct me if I ever get off course. Gently. And just say, if you don't start preaching, we're going to tar and feather you. I can take that. I believe I'd rather be tarred and feathered is to be guilty of not preaching. Now, he said, preach the word. What did he say? Preach the word. Don't talk about it. Don't archaeologicalize it. Preaching's not just giving out information. Preaching is making a declaration of truth of the Word of God. Preach the Word. It's a declaration and an exclamation and a proclamation of truth put forth by a human pastor under the direction and power of the Holy Spirit of God
that requires a response. That's leading up to a decision that people make after they hear some preaching. It's where they're going to say, that's a bunch of baloney. Are they going to say, are they going to harden their heart? Are they going to say, that preacher's right. It's just like he knew me. That's not so. I don't know you. I know you, but I don't know your life. But that's what God does. And it requires a positive response when there's preaching. And if it's negatively responded to, your heart gets harder and you stand in danger. And I warn you, before Almighty God, when me or any other preacher is standing here to preach the Word of God or wherever, in your church, wherever you may be today listening, you better, I warn you, listen to the Word of God and the message of God and apply it to your life in whatever way it needs to be applied. Preach the Word. Be instant. I said up here years ago, I was a song director here. Carrie MacDonald, it's Carrie Reeves at the time, she couldn't talk plain. She was just a little girl. And she said, Roger Rex is singing. Derek directs it. And ask my girls and ask any preacher that comes in here, I wreck the scene. I'm sitting there. I usually sit right over there, song director. I think I'm sitting there. Ray Hill was sitting up here, pastor. He looked at me and said, I'm signing. He said, you're a preacher. I said, when? He said, when they finish this song or whatever. You're like, what? That's instant, right? Now let's look at it another way. I know I'm not. Give me a moment to preach this message. We're going through this whole chapter, not today. Thank God, right? We can. I'm ready.
But I have looked up because I've said.
It had something. Two of the classes that I never lie, especially one with homiletics, that were, there was a man up there, and I don't even know if it's a preacher, trying to teach us how to preach. That really bothered me, because the students would critique the preaching, and he would, and I got mad inspired, you know. They cut my leg. Matter of fact, I don't even think that was my practice preaching. I never helped. Practice preaching. Yeah. You say, we can tell. You could tell singers, you can tell if they practiced or not. But with a preacher, you can't. He may have his words just right and all that. I mean, what I'm saying is, he's got a canned talk right out of the tent. It don't, that is instant, be instant in season, out of season. Don't mean, well, just get up and God fills your mouth, and he will. God won't fill it, but you'll fill it with hot air if there's not been, the preacher hadn't done some study. Study to show thyself approved. A workman that writing needeth not to be ashamed, lightly dividing the word. The most boring thing I've ever done is try to sit and listen to a preacher that thinks God just pulls it out of the hat. I'm going to tell you what, God's corrected a lot of things that I thought I was going to say preaching the message. It comes from God. I mean, and that's the best kind, right? Get it all rolled out and forever. Then God changes things. I did that with Philip. You may not remember, but you walked in here years ago. And I was about to get up and preach, and God said, preach on hell. And in the middle of the message, Philip hit the altar. Wouldn't that have been something if we'd have handed out a little flyer that said, here's the preacher's message, here's the points, and here's that. And I said, well, Lord, I think I got this thing wrote out in it. So Philip, I don't believe Philip would have got saved yet. So it's instant call. My daddy used to drink some instant coffee, Maxwell House, and I remember him sitting at the kitchen table and it's better percolated, but some of y'all don't even know anything about, y'all think that's running a perk test on your property. he'd stir it, he'd pour it in there. He'd pour the coffee in there and then pour the water, and there'd be quiet stuff come up. He said, that's the flavor. Don't let that quiet stuff get it in there. Okay, instant. You know what instant is. Everything's instant now. It's all in. It means be ready. You give an account. Be ready to preach. Robert's preaching next Sunday. He already knew that. I told him a few days ago. But I think there's been a time or two when I give him short notes. You know, in season, whether you're feeling good, whether you're sick, you say sick, well, it's been time. It's been time. I'm going to freeze this side out over here. Y'all remember them funeral fans? I know you do. You know, I guess that funeral business, you know, they were advertising. Here it is. There's three things. Let me just skip that part. Reprove. Reprove, rebuke. Reprove means to convict and to tell a fault. Tell a fault. The preacher just get up on preaching on some particular sin. He don't even know that person's guilty. And he said, well, he's telling on me. I was preaching on liquor. When was the last time you had a drink? You know, I asked the church this question several years ago, and there's a young man in here. Did anybody have anything drank last week? I'm preaching on drinking hot and heavy. And the man come to me and said, you've been preaching on drinking every Sunday. And he said, drinking, you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Strong drink. Not 1% alcohol, 0%. So anyway, he said, I don't know why you're doing that. And I walked in on my son-in-law, who is a member of this church, and he is Christ. God, no! They call it God's getting our number, right? He's got our number, and he knows when to call. Rebuke. Reprove to tell and convince of a fault. Rebuke. That means to censure. To forbid. You know what censure means. They, in libraries, they went through and censored books in some places. And thank God for Texas. Now, in Texas, you have to use the Bible in the schools. You knew that, right? Thank God. Thank you, Alabama. You know what preaching will help you. If you'll listen to it and the preacher, if you'll take the message, it will censor your life and it'll take things out of your life that you'll be willing that should not be in your life. Thank God for that. So, like a child that's had to be bullied. Saying any shepherd in his right mind would get a bullwhip and just start beating one of them. It's happened. People come to church and they're so beat down when they go out, I wonder even why they come back to place like. But we need to be correct. But we don't need to be like you. It's referred to Jesus and so on. With all long suffering, I know we're going slow. In Alabama, our English is not good. It's just up north. I think our English is good. They just don't. What? Yeah. I think he got my friend over to Times Restaurant. I ain't sound king. Y'all go there and tell him to send some cows. Send him. He's got a big picture on the back wall with some cows. And every time I go in there, he always asks me, he asked her, said, well, let me cough, you got, let me cough. I'm thinking, he's a Chinese talking like a Northern. Shut up, purple pie, channel 12. No, Carson, I don't know what you're saying. And he went around over there to the Shelby company to show me some pictures of cats. But you understand that the word long-suffering, your parents, you that are parents and grandparents, do you have patience with your kids? Do you? My daddy had patience, I reckon, but he didn't. Hey, listen, you're talking about swift and what is it? Swift and equal punishment. He didn't put me on a schedule to be tried at court 6 months from now. It's all over with. But he didn't kill me. So, somebody said, "You know how I? You know that." I can tell you I never sassed my daddy, and I didn't. He said, the way you know is because I'm walking. And it says, look, with all long-suffering and what? Doctrine. Doctrine, the very elementary word, means teaching. But teaching what? What are we being taught in churches? What are kids being taught in school? Have they been taught? There's one or two things that can be taught. They're being taught a lie. It's a, and in the churches, I remember Terry and Lisa went and visited. They had a couple that came in here and visited our church. And then years ago, they said, well, they wanted us to come to their church. Okay. Okay, come back and said, well, the preacher got up. He said, open your Bible to a certain place in the Bible. And in that particular verse, I'm going to preach out of one word. And Terry said, that word wasn't in my Bible. What are they being taught? Truth. Truth needs to, this is truth, friends. This is not to be used with higher criticism by the learned. And the people that know the original languages. It's in the English Bible. It's written where we can understand it. And you'll say, I don't understand the Bible. I talked to a man last week, you know. He said, I've tried to read the Bible, but I just can't make hide nor hair of it. It don't make no sense to me. You know why? He's not saved. Natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritual. I used to sit in my Anglican seal up down the road here in the old Jones Chapel Church. They converted it into a house. And on her coffee table, she had that picture, that big Bible there before I got saved. You had them pictures in it, and I turned and looked at them pictures. And I'm going to tell you what, some of them Bibles, you know what I did to one of them Bibles? I told the truth of God. Some of them had this looking pornography in a Bible. Not her Bible, another. So the pictures were not inspired. They would not do that. I don't know why they put it in there. For sale, I guess. I'd read, I'd open that Bible and I look and I read. I could read. Just because I didn't learn to say my ABCs in order until I was in the third grade, I knew my ABCs, but I didn't know where they went.
the principal of that school I met him years later, his name was Alco Johnson. He said, Butler, they down there at Jesse Dean Smith, they always sent me crazy teachers. And I had my first 6 years. Along the other two churches. What does the Bible say? And then talking about the end time of Jesse Owens, it says they'll believe a lie and be damned. When the Holy Spirit goes and the rapture and the saints of God, the church goes out of here, the Holy Spirit goes out. The only thing that's holding this world together is the Holy Ghost of God in the lives of believers. That's the only thing that's holding it together. And when we're gone and he's gone, he that letteth will let no more. That's a spirit of God that is hindering the progress of the devil. When we're gone, the Bible says that God will send them a strong delusion and they'll believe a lie and be damned. And I'm going to tell you what, believing the lie is happening right there. I'm scared to death of our children that are being exposed to what's going on in this world. And to being exposed to what the world's calling Christianity. Coming out of Birmingham Hospital there. Coming up 59 last week and last Monday. And I stopped around Argo. I don't pass out a little bit in the red, but offense just left. So many jacks, I don't got me a T or something, I can't remember. Or at the gas station where it was. There was two church vans loaded down, pulled in right behind one another. I didn't get the name of the church, but it was a church van. I didn't remember it all. In one van, there was boys, teenagers. In the other van, there was girls. And they started getting out of that van. I don't like to use descriptive words talking about women's underwear, but it looked like that's all them girls had on. And the boys had short-legged breeches. The only person that ever sees my legs is my wife. And she laughs about it. When I was in the hospital, when I came back, and I had that strep throat and all went in the hospital, and I had bug bites from my waist down. I mean, I was looking like a strawberry. And the nurses, you know, you guys are. I mean, there has been other women that've seen my leg. So. They said, oh, my goodness. They looked at that. And Gilda heard I was in the hospital sick. She said, he's brought something back from Mexico. He's going to kill us all. That's the kind of secretary you want. She ain't supposed to be talking. I think I'm dying. So anyway, the doctor came in. He said, look at these legs. He said, that ain't his problem. He's got strap or strip or they're dehydrated. They got me all fixed up. Got out of there. I'll figure out why I told you that in a minute. Doctrine. Here it is. You go to the doctor. I was telling a man how to be saved last week. You know what he told me? He said, things are going to be different. When I get out of the hospital, it's going to be different. Okay, that's what God's dealing with this man. And you know what he told me, Jim? He said, shoot it straight to me. He's much of a man. Shoot it straight. And if I'd have been like you go to the doctor, say that was a doctor, I was a doctor and went in. Shoot it straight to me, doctor. Well, you got cancer. Well, listen. You're going to be okay and not tell the patient he's about to die. I want him to shoot it straight to him. I go to a doctor now, one in Fort Payne, he's from Russia. He said, I'm going to get you lined up for a hearing test. I said, doctor, I can hear you, but I can't understand your language. He said, I've been in the United States 20 years, and I still can't speak English. You need to shoot it straight. Preaching needs to be shooting it straight, telling the people the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he came into the world, lived a sinless life, born virgin, sinless life, died a vicarious death on the cross, shed his blood for you and I, and died, went in the grave 3 days, come out the third day. He's in heaven. He's our lawyer right now. He's our advocate before God. And when God looks at us, he sees us through Jesus. I'm telling you what, I have a hard time gripping that. But according to the Word of God, I've not sinned. But on the earth, you sin, you'll pay for it. You won't be judged for your sins when you get to heaven. I hear people say, I dread judgment seat of Christ. And that judges our motive. That's where we get rewards. It's not to judge us to see if we've been good enough to be saved. We've got a message here on a lot of judgments. There's seven judgments in the Bible. But we're going to be judged one day. And our works, part of our works, we're not going to be judged to where we're going to heaven or not. The Bible says in Corinthians, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of our deeds done in the flesh, whether they be good or evil. That's talking about works, that we get saved and then we work for God. And if we don't work for God, we don't get any rewards. And if we so-called say we've worked, but we've done it for self-recognition, we're not getting any work. We're not getting any rewards. None. Whatsoever. Here it is. We're going to close up in just a minute. And the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now remember, doctrine means teaching, and it can be either teaching a lie or teaching the truth. And they will not endure. They won't put up with it. They will not put up with sound doctrine. You know what sound doctrine is? Not rotten doctrine. When I was cutting this timber to build my house down there, down the road here, getting those logs ready, I air dried some of the lumber, and I was concerned about some of it. And old Bobby Earl Holtz, he said, Roger, just take a hammer and get one of them boards and hit it on the end. Boom. If it does that, bounces back on you, that's good lumber. But if it don't make much of a sound, or it's just like softy, that's not sound lumber. Sound doctrine means good, true. It means true teaching. They won't put up with it. People don't want to hear they don't want to hear the truth about who they are. Remember, we said a little while ago, don't preach at me. Well, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to make people mad, right? Well, it's God making you mad. It ain't me. I'm not picking on nobody. I'm not naming sins, but I can if you want me to. And not your sins. I'm just talking about, I don't know your sins. Get that straight, friends. I don't have a one of them, well, they call them private detective following you around so I can know what to preach on. I don't do that. I'm not trying to make you mad, chick. God forbid. But it's God putting a mirror in your face, showing you what you look like. I just hope none of our people's getting out of vans with their underwear on. Why would you want to get into a van with your underwear on? It's terrible. I believe what's going to happen is if Jesus don't come back soon, people are naked. There's a word, naked. You know what that's a sign of? Heathenism. If you ain't got enough money to buy clothes, I'll buy them for you.
It's hot, right? Oh, it's so hot. So you're getting on one down. Well, just let me go ahead. I'll be done in a minute. You can vote me out of here. You can try. I saw a guy in Fort Payne working, Terry. He's got on a, what do they call that thing with a hoodie on it? It's a coat. He's got that thing wrapped on, zipped up, hood over, and he's out there in 110-degree weather working. Then yesterday, I'm coming down the road towards Blake's, and there's a man out there with no shirt on, 110 degrees, whatever it is, weeding, frying like a piece of bacon. Oh, it's cool, man. It's hot. It's cool. It's hot. It's hot, so I'm cool. You're stupid is what you are. You're not cool. Preaching. They get tired of it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own what? What? Is lust a bad word? They use lust as a bad word just for sexual things, but there's a lot more lust than just a sexual thing. Their own lust. So what it is? What is? After their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I don't reckon my ears has ever really itched too much. I don't remember. But that ain't what that means. That means your desire, your cravings. Like, oh, my ears wanting to hear something. I'm tired. I'm not putting up with no more of this kind of preaching. I want somebody that'll soothe my itching. Like poison oak, stop it from itching. And you can find them, buddy. You can find them. Y'all want preaching? Y'all need preaching? Y'all believe preaching helps you? You think the preacher's a smart aleck? One time I said, I've been using I a lot, and I'm trying my best not to use I a lot. Me was coming out of this church one day, and I had said, well, if anybody wants to personalize me, I'm a mixture between Hill Favor. He's the cattle boss of Rawhide. And a little bit of that guy on Bonanza. And a little bit of Andy Griffith. Whatever. On the way out, Lisa said, you know who you remind me of? I said, who? She said, Sergeant Carter on Gomer Pyle. I ain't never forgive you for that. I thought, yes, sir. The preacher, hey, here's what they want. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to what? Aesop's fables. Confucianism. Confucius says this. Fables. Story tales. A fairy tale ain't going to get you to heaven, friends. A fairy tale ain't going to feed you. There's something about watching a fairy tale or reading a fairy tale or a fable, and you see it and you say, I already know that, and you turn it, it's got to be something better and bigger, and it keeps going. It's got to be more and more. But there's something about the truth. You can hear the same truth every Sunday, and it can help you over and over and over again. So like cornbread is an essential part of my diet. Sometimes I eat it and not think about it, but if it ain't there, I do think about it. It's got to be. Truths. Tired of hearing that. What they're doing. They haven't eaten for years. Fables. Fables. Well, what's a famous preacher? What define a famous preacher? You know what? You know what? I call them celebrity preachers. Everywhere they go, they love them. They've never been stoned, tarred and feathered, persecuted. It's good everywhere they go. Tell Paul that. Tell Paul you think Paul is a famous preacher. They were gathering stones as soon as he walked across the county line. They had a jail cell swept out for him. They didn't greet him. When the prophets came into town, they had prophets attire. They dressed like, you know, prophets attire. See them coming. You meet them at the gate. They say, oh, hold a minute. You coming with peace. Them people had the fire. They could call fire down. Preacher's not respected much anymore. Y'all, I know y'all, we love each other. I'm just talking about a preacher is not respected like they used to be. I wonder why. If they preached the truth, they'd be respected. But now they're buddy-buddy. I'm your friends. More than anything in the world, I'm y'all's friends. But more than that, I'm your preacher. Oh, yeah, Paul was a famous preacher. Yeah, he was. Okay, quickly, I'm closing. Well, first of all, only a celebrity type preacher. Robert and Andrew were up in Virginia, North Carolina, one station in the Marine Corps, and they were visiting a church they were thinking about joining. And a good friend of mine, who I confronted about this, was scheduled to be at that church and preach. It was during the COVID time, either a little after or whatever. He called and canceled. He said, you know, COVID thing, you know, I just need to cancel this meeting. The week that he is supposed to be there, instead of being at the little church, he was one of those monster churches across town. Same day. That really bothered me. I saw him in a meeting, after that, had breakfast with him. I tried to be discreet. I mean, I just, you know, how do you be discreet? I'm what is it, diplomatic? How do you, politically correct? I tried my best to say it right. And we're sitting there talking. I said, brother, do you know a little church up there? Was it Virginia? I said, you know a little church up there? He said, yeah, I know that church. I said, my kids go to that church. And I saw that I didn't need to say nothing else. Broke my heart. There's so much going on in the name of Christ, not just with people getting out half naked out of bands, but there's a lot going on in pulpits. God help us as preachers. You need to pray for preachers. I believe you do. I believe you do. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. All I'm going to say is watch. We'll talk about this other stuff later in verse 5. We'll probably pick it up in verse 5 next Sunday. But watch. You don't even have to be watching. All you got to do is be walking out there, and there it is. But watch down all things. Watch for what? What he's just talking about. Watch for somebody not telling you the truth. Be careful of lining up with the Bible. As a meter reader, he said he loves his job. Got this little stick or piece of rod about that long on the end of it. It's got a hook on it. And I was down near the road when he come check my meter. Let lid up like that. He began to talk. I love my job. I think he said he did 500 meters a day. I mean, he did a bunch of it. I love my job. Got this strong hat on. I wasn't paying much attention to him. And he's got short breeches on. They're not breeches. They're shorts. Don't call short breeches short breeches. Call them shorts. Breeches go down the ice. He's got on these kind of shoes you hike in. What kind of shoes comes up to his ankle. And got on socks. And the calf of his legs open. I said, you ever seen snakes? He said, all the time. Like he loved it. Yeah, man. I would not love my job. I would not. I'd go washing dishes in a restaurant somewhere. Before I'd be there. He said, I catch them all the time. He said, I bring the black snakes home and put them in the shop to give my wife a heart attack. She might just shoot him. You ever seen the rattlesnakes? I got one right up here in Dawgstown. He said, some of the meters are on down in the woods a little bit. And I have to walk a trail to the meter. Walk out there. He said, look here, he did this. He said, the next step, that was it. If he hadn't have been looking down, he'd have stepped right on top of that snake. I said, you carry a gun now? I said, you kill that rattlesnake? He said, yeah. I said, how? He said, with that rod? I said, that thing could have been 30 foot long. I use a shotgun. Got to looking. And I looked at his hat. And I kept seeing something on his hat there. It was about that long, beady. You know, it was rattlesnake rabbits. And he got that rattlesnake and skinned it and made him a headband. That's a nicest looking headband I've ever seen with a rattlesnake. Man. I'm so scared and afraid I wouldn't even have a rattlesnake. I put my rattlesnake rattles in my guitar because it keeps moisture out. Okay, if you got any, give them to me. I said, what do you do? What do you do? How? Snake every day. And like he's disappointed if he don't kill two or three snakes a day. What do you do? What do you do, friend? You know what he said? I watch. Spiritually, if you don't watch, you could be bit by some poison. Or you know. Thank you for your attention. Let's stand. Let's have an invitation. I don't know. You may want to come to this altar and pray for your preacher that I'll be a good preacher. Whether you come to the altar or not, you pray for me that I'll be a good messenger. Always speak the truth. The Bible says speak the truth in love. Preach the word of God. I thank God for preachers that have been in my life. Because I'm here today is because somebody preached the word of God to me one day and I got saved. I'm here today as a pastor because one day I was preached and learned and heard the word of God. And you're here today because one day you heard a preacher preach the gospel to you and you trusted Christ as your Savior. I hope there's nobody here that's unsaved today. If you are, why don't you come and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior? Receive eternal life, forgiveness of sins. Have a home in heaven. Why don't you do that? Why don't you? I beg you to do that. If you need to pray for whatever reason, you pray. You come and pray right now.